Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Have you made a determination whether Mitch Trubisky will return next year, or whether you're interested in a return from him?
Yeah, you know, again, that's going to be part of our offseason plan, and we're not going to lay all that out right now, Pat. You know, it's just those are all internal discussions we've had, but you know, I would say again, everything's on the table with all the quarterbacks.
You start with the quarterback position, and for us, there's a lot of different ways that we could go right now, right? Whether it's with Mitchell, whether it's with Nick, whether it's with somebody outside. And there's a lot of different ways that it could go. And I've always been a quarterback. I've always played the position my entire life. I have fun evaluating the position and seeing what other players do well and don't do well, and then how it fits into where we're at. Right now, we're literally in the thick of everything, and just so many what if this, what if that. And it's our job to work together to make sure that we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's together.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. There you hear from the Brain Trust, Ryan Pace with the first non-answer, and then it was Matt Nagy's turn, and Nagy is, he's a bit more charming and a bit more polished. Pace is actively trying to explain how sensitive everything he says is and how he can't say anything, and I'm here.
I'm sensitive.
Yeah. And I think that you can have a laugh about the whole thing, because, again, Secret Squirrel is dating Morocco Mole, and maybe that means they're going to procreate a quarterback for the Bears. It just seems like the plans are little bit twisted. Is that fair to say? Just totally uncertain, and as a result, everything seems to be under consideration. And Matt Nagy looks at life as a quarterback. He looks at himself as a quarterback. You heard him say it there. This is his self-definition. This is the way the man presents himself, thinks of himself. He was not a professional quarterback, but he played in college. Yeah, hey, Sean Desai, you didn't play defensive back in college. I'm just kidding. But it means a lot to him that he was a quarterback, and he looks at life as a quarterback. And I think as a head coach, he's a pretty damn good arena quarterback.
Well, I hope that he, can find a quarterback this offseason, but they're no closer to one today than they were when the season ended. And that's the most frustrating thing, because, bottom line is, whatever they say, it's very difficult to win the press conference given the way that history is not on their side, and we're going to judge them by the actions more than their words, and that was going to be a predictable outcome yesterday. I had low expectations going in, and they met them. So I think that is one of those things where intentionally vague is the best way to describe the way Ryan Pace was, and Matt Nagy was just as vague, just a little more polite and enthusiastic about the way that he, conveyed this message, which is, day to day, week to week, decision by decision. This isn't the way that you want to take control of your franchise. And that's the frustrating thing from a football guy's perspective, from any executive's perspective. You want to go into the offseason and you want to enact change, and you're used to having things go your way. But the Bears are not able to do that. They are at the mercy of other decisions by other franchises, by other agents, by other players. And that's why we are in the what if this, what if that phase of the offseason. And thank you, Matt Nagy, because that is the way we go into every day in Sports Talk Radio is, you know, what if this, what if that? The speculation is what fuels this business. And he just invited more of it by appearing behind a microphone yesterday and not having any answers and making the questions even more valid.
I thought it was curious that Matt Nagy, when asked about the traits he sees in a quarterback, he went on a little bit, and then he suddenly started talking about Alex Smith. And I understand it's a guy he's been around, but it's also a guy who's available. And I don't know that we can separate the two things. And I think what kind of was interesting to me is him talking about the leadership skills of Alex Smith. Is that one of the great traits you have to have as a quarterback? It's like he had Alex Smith on the mind, right? Now, maybe
Absolutely.
They were evaluating him earlier. But it seemed like when you volunteer a guy that's a possibility, everybody is going to hear that and have their ears perk up.
Well, that's why I referenced earlier, like that is the way that we have been approaching this offseason. Well, which quarterback is loose today? Which rumor is the one people are talking about in NFL circles? Oh, Alex Smith. Yes, let's talk about him today because he is parting company with the Washington football team. And then Matt Nagy yesterday invoked his name in a Zoom conference where they kind of stayed away from specifics. They couldn't address this. And good for Mark Grody. He asked Ryan Pace, I think it was, or was it? He asked a question. Maybe it was of Matt Nagy specifically about Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. And they were going to stay away from those specifics until Matt Nagy was talking about leadership. And you're right. He invoked Alex Smith because it was top of the mind to him. And also, the standard by which he measures other quarterbacks in terms of leadership, in terms of being a mentor, and perhaps that is a clue that was revealed on a day we didn't get many. That was one that stood out. I absolutely agree with you, and it was impossible not to notice that.
It's really strange because I you know, we talked about this yesterday, and I'm with you. I love the story. I've got a lot of respect for what Alex Smith has been through, what he's had to go through in order to come back. I mean, it's horrific enough to go through that kind of an injury and the multiple surgeries and somehow find your way back. And then, you know, it's not the superhero ending that maybe he had in mind. In fact, he, even after playing last year and getting to start at one point, he reveals that he never really felt welcome in Washington. And, you know, he's kind of a little embittered that he didn't get the opportunity that he thought he was going to get, whatever it might have been. And then you hear what Matt Nagy says. I love the story. I really hope they don't go with Alex Smith. I really hope that's not their answer. And it's a question, to me, it's a question of quarterback mobility. I think we saw what happens when you have a guy that really can't hurt you with his legs when you're in this scheme. And we saw that with what happened when Nick Foles was under center and how, you know, it was sort of a, you know, accuracy is important, but you also need a little bit of mobility. And especially in a scheme like this, you didn't see that at all. I would argue that maybe Foles is more mobile than Alex Smith at this point.
After 17 surgeries, I think that's a safe bet. And that's not meant to be disrespectful at all to Alex Smith. I have a ton of love for what he did and what he accomplished and think that he deserved comeback player of the year. And there should probably not have been anybody else up for the award. But that's last season. If you're going into this season and you're Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, it just bears repeating. I don't know how you could envision making him your starter. There's a lack of mobility, but that underscores the lack of availability and the durability and all the abilities. And I think that when you talk about leadership, yeah, that's one thing. And you want him in the room maybe if you draft a rookie quarterback, but you don't need him in the room because you have Nick Foles. You're building a playoff roster. You're not casting a Hallmark movie. So no matter how good the story is, you need to look at the football aspect of this and the other ways that you're, you know, allocating money under the salary cap and think, is it a worthwhile investment? Because he won't come cheap. There should be a market for him. And I don't think you want to bid against yourself and overpay for a guy who has limited value when you're talking about what you need next year?
We've gone over this quarterback position in a lot of different ways. We've talked about individuals that could be available, could be. We've talked about the guys that are available. We've talked about the draft potential of some players and what that would mean. We've talked about the Bears sort of being outside this entire process because they're not the team that has the kind of firepower that's going to shake the market. They'd have to really give up a lot to shake the market. And we don't even know if some of these big-time, big-name guys would be released. There are great options for the Bears if they're available. At this point, they're not. And they're great options for the Bears if they have the firepower. At this point, they do not. So as we go, they're doing the same thing. They're going through the options, and they're just now, they're in a process of waiting to see what happens. And then we've talked about it all along. Then they'll fall back to their own guy. Then they'll have to go into the draft. It's everything. It's almost as if this is a living entity. The quarterback pursuit is a thing. It's this giant monster of a thing that is being fed every day by rumor, by innuendo. But really, ultimately, it's a phantom. You could puncture it if you just stop believing or something. It's not real because none of it is really out there. So you have impractical ideas and then the practical ideas. And none of the practical ideas, David, really appeal that much to anyone.
No, because you can't get excited about things that don't represent obvious upgrade, and that's what is holding back any enthusiasm, because the most exciting day of the Bears off season was when we had the report that Russell Wilson had the Bears on his list of teams he would consider being traded to. That's a pretty low bar to clear. And so, yeah, the practical solutions are Alex Smith, Sam Darnold, or Marcus Mariota, which are the three quarterbacks that Ian Rappaport mentioned and linking to the Bears yesterday after, that is the latest snapshot of where they are. Tomorrow, maybe that changes. Maybe somebody else gets involved. But none of those options make you feel like, oh, boy, I can't wait to get back to Soldier Field to watch a playoff team. No, I mean, there's nothing like that going on. And that you just wonder how a NFL franchise goes into this offseason knowing how badly they need a quarterback and how much everyone is fixated on that reality. And it sounds as if they have approached this, as we just said, like we have. It's like, okay, we'll see what happens today. Who's going to be on the market today? And maybe they're doing, I'm sure they're doing a lot more due diligence, as they say, and they're privy to a lot more information than we are. But still, it doesn't seem like there's a clear-cut plan or path or quarterback that they're specifically targeting or they can get.
I wonder, and I don't want to do a dime store psychoanalysis of Matt Nagy, but let's do one anyway. When you hear him talk about his identity as quarterback, how he views the game, lifelong quarterback, quarterback in college, quarterback in the Arena League, I would argue that you could consider him kind of underdog quarterback, right? Guy that always stayed with it even though it wasn't going anywhere and had to battle in himself to give it up. And then how did he give it up? Well, eventually he got a job working as maybe a quarterback, working as a coach of quarterbacks, working as a guy that studied offense and dealt with the quarterback. That is his lifetime obsession. And again, his personal view of himself. How does that affect his evaluation of the position? Does he, we talk about some of the errors that have been made over the years with the Bears, particularly when Phil Emery hires Mark Trestman over Bruce Arians. He sees himself. He studies this, and he sees a guy down all the dark roads who's had the same journey he's had, and he feels like they're going to do it. They're going to get together, and they're going to climb to the top of the mountain. You could argue Ryan Pace looks at Mitchell Trubisky and sees something there of himself, has some connection with him where he believes he stops almost searching. This is the guy. I found the guy. We had this meal together, and John, please be quiet. We talked to him, and he drove here in the car, and he's all the backstory. So now when we look at Matt Nagy trying to figure out who it is that he identifies with as a player. Does he look at the guy and say, wow, there's a superstar player that can come here? Or does he say, man, what a great story this guy's going through. He's staying with it like I stayed with it. Let's bring in Alex Smith. I know his personality. Great guy. You love having him in the room. Or does he look at some quarterback in the draft and say, all that guy needed was the chance? If you're a lifetime quarterback and all you've been is a quarterback and your vision of the game is from the quarterback spot, isn't that like, do you see your journey in someone else, or do you look for the greatest qualities in a quarterback, the ability to play?
It's inevitable that you're going to see traits that, you know, embody things that you value. And so Matt Nagy, as a quarterback, the way that he sees himself, the quarterback in the mirror, if you will, he's a grinder. He's an overachiever. He's a guy that didn't have as much God-given ability as the person he just beat out, right? So he's going to value the intangibles, I think, over the tangibles. Now, as a coach, that's what you love, to work with those guys, because you want 53 of them in your locker room. You want the guys who were going to come back from 17 surgeries and be the leader. And you want the guys who are going to have that kind of moxie. Does that limit his scope? Maybe. Or maybe I think what you're getting at is that this offseason, those are the kind of options that he's considering and maybe favoring over some of the others that may, you know, emerge. And so if you look at the draft, Matt Nagy's going to get excited about a guy that maybe has, you know, not as much physical ability, but if he's the fifth or sixth quarterback they have to, you know, that's drafted, he can work with him because, hey, I'm a quarterback at heart and I have done less, I've done more with less, and I'm going to be able to do that. It's interesting because you have that kind of thing with Nagy going, but I don't know that an accomplished quarterback, a guy who maybe then goes to be an executive, is any better at choosing, you know, successor for the position or choosing the position either. I mean, the thing that comes to mind is you were talking with John Elway. I mean, John Elway is kind of the other way. It's like maybe he's trying to find the too perfect of a quarterback because he's the guy who was so talented and gifted and had all these natural abilities, and he hasn't been able to really find
right.
a quarterback the way that you would expect. So it does cut both ways, but that's really interesting to consider about Nagy and how his own experiences has informed his choices and evaluation process as a coach.
And I mean, you know, again, he worked with Smith. He knows what that journey was. The guy failed as a number one overall draft pick in San Francisco, and his career was made when he got to Kansas City, and he could adapt to what they were doing, and they had great success with him. Now, they never won the big one. They never were able to kind of get over the hump there. But I just worry about the fact that they have options, but none of them seem to be the right option, if you will. David, this is so frustrating because could the Bears wind up with something? Yeah, they could wind up with a really good player. Could the dominoes fall where somebody winds up coming here that you could succeed with? I think that's possible. But you have no control over that. That's why when you say that it's hope and prayer, that's what it is. Because you know, while you'll have to pay and while you'll have to engage, there are 32 teams that want to do the same thing. You know, there's only what, a handful of teams, 10 teams tops that don't want to improve their quarterback situation. And I think when you look at where the Bears are at, they're on the outside looking in. And they're hoping that something falls that could work out for them, but they can't make that happen. They can't. They can't force a trade. They can't force a player to sign with them. They're in trouble.
So if they go into next season and they talk themselves into signing Alex Smith and they keep Nick Foles because he's not that expensive and they draft a quarterback, let's say in a second round because they go for the offensive tackle at number 20, and your quarterback depth chart is – Nick Foles, Alex Smith, rookie to be named later. I'm not sure how you feel about next season. I don't think you feel good about that possibility. I think that doesn't necessarily say that doesn't reflect the urgency that next season carries for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. but I do think we're probably closer to that scenario than Russell Wilson jogging out in a number three jersey at Soldier Field.
It's depressing, I got to tell you. All right, we got to get to the pick six. 312-644-6767. We're going to open up the phone lines a little bit later. Pick six next. Mully and Haw on the score.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. Chicago guys talking Chicago sports. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device, through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
When Matt Nagy was specifically asked by our guy Brad Biggs how many of the QB options would please the coach, Nagy said, several. Do you believe that? How many would you be good with?
It's a good answer because it just underscores they have no idea. So whatever one we wind up with is kind of what he's saying. I think it's a limited number for me. If they can hit a home run, great. If they can't, I hate to say it, but I think going with Mitch is as good an answer as any because you had some success with him. I think you'd have to have like a one-year deal. You'd have to have a prove-it kind of contract. But if you did do something like that, I wouldn't have a major problem with it, and I might have had a major problem with it if you had asked me earlier in this process. But that might be the best thing to do. That might be the best thing to actually come back with a guy that you got to 500 with and hope to somehow eliminate the six-game losing streak of the season. And they took long enough for kind of figuring that one out. They've had a four-game losing streak and a six-game losing streak, and Matt Nagy talked about it like, hey, we've gotten off to a good start. We just got to stop these losing streaks. My God, do you realize when you have a six-game losing streak that you really very seldom keep your job? That is hard to believe that they finished 500 and that they managed to creep into the playoffs because there was an extra spot added. It made their season different than it was, and then once they got to New Orleans, it showed again that they can't score. So as much as I don't want to see the same team back again, I think some of these other options scare me.
I think when you hear executives committed, convicted to go down a certain path, like for instance, and it's a bad example, but when Ryan Pace traded up to get Mitch Trubisky on that night, in that moment, you at least appreciated the fact that he targeted a guy, was fixated on getting him, and you know what? That's something they hadn't done before, so let's see how this works out. Congratulations, you respected that conviction. What you heard yesterday, it's hard to respect an offense or a front office that is going through the off season, and let's see what today brings. What's on your to-do list? I don't know yet. It doesn't really say a lot about the direction and give you a lot of confidence about next season. So follow the clues. And the only ones that we have is so far the Bears have embraced continuity. They brought back their general manager. They brought back their head coach. They basically brought back their offensive staff. It's why I've been saying all along, don't rule out Mitch Trubisky. I don't necessarily like that idea, but you don't have to like it to understand the logic in it. And so if you think the continuity matters and you've embraced the status quo to some degree, you could do worse based on the options available. Based on the options available, you could do worse than bringing back Mitch. Feelings don't matter. Relationships can be repaired. Winning cures all. Give Mitch another shot. Right now, as I sit here this morning, I have yet to hear a more efficient, a better option, really. So if there is one, let's hear it. But what we heard yesterday doesn't make me think that we're going to hear one.
Pick six! Wow!
After listening to the verbal tap dancing of one Ryan Pace, do you believe Allen Robinson will be back next year on the franchise tag? Will he be on the roster?
Yes, I do. I think there was some verbal tap dancing going on. I don't know why. I think he's going to be back. I'm not sure what the holdup is. They love him. I don't know if you heard that, Mully, but they love Allen Robinson. They only said that a few dozen times, I think. Allen Robinson's agent and Ryan Pace are probably far apart on what a long-term contract looks like. But again, you're not worried about feelings. You're worried about doing what's best for this roster, and this roster needs Allen Robinson on it. The franchise tag has been collectively bargained. It's a tool at your disposal. Use it.
I think it's bizarre that he talked about loving the guy and they want him on the team and they want their good players. And you had the receiver say they hadn't negotiated since, what was it, August, September? Just ridiculous, sort of the dichotomy between how much you want them and love them versus the fact that you never talked to them. So maybe now, you know, they're looking at the franchise tag hovering over him as perhaps a way of getting the agent to the table, and they're trying to work out some kind of a deal. We don't know that. We don't have information on that, but I'm hoping that that is the case and that, you know, once the deal they want to work out fails, which I'm confident it will, then they tag him. And I think that that's kind of what's going on right now, that just hearing the tone of it and hearing what he had to say, for him to turn around and not tag the guy, that would look idiotic. It really would, because you don't go and say, hey, we want our best players, he's a great player for us, and we want our best players under contract, and then let the guy walk. So
bye.
I think he's on the roster, and I don't know if it's by tag or deal, but I imagine they're trying to get a deal done.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Was it at all amusing that Ryan Pace offered just about everything he could when asked to name the strength of the team? He started off with coaching, was definitive about the defense, mentioned young players improving in the offensive line and wide receiver, talked about the tight ends, and concluded with the strength of special teams. So it's virtually everything but QB then?
That I couldn't believe that answer. Stacey Dales asked, what's the strength of the team? And he was apparently on coaching at that point, so he just went off with the coaching. I don't think the coaching is the strength of the team. I think if the coaching was the strength of the team, they'd have done significantly better in 2019 and 2020. And when you go through four-game losing streaks, and when you go through you go through a four-game losing streak, so you take out the entire offensive staff. Then you come back and you go through a six-game losing streak, so you take out the entire defensive staff. I don't see coaching as their strength. The strength of the team has to be their defense. That's where the money is. That's where the investment is. That's what they've done. And I thought it was pretty good to start the season and then fell apart pretty significantly in the middle of the season. And it showed up again in the playoffs, but it you didn't get any help with that. So I don't know that that was a positive or a false positive when you talk about the young players in the streak where you were scoring 30 points a game. That seems like more or less the teams you were playing. That was kind of a scheduling issue. And by the way, their schedule gets a lot tougher. So I think the defense is the strength of the team, period. I think that they need help at quarterback. And if they get a quarterback, he can make the guys around him better. I totally disagree with the idea that they were saying that whoever they have a quarterback, the players around him are going to make him better. Because I don't see that. I don't see the talent. I think they need somebody that's going to make those guys better.
That's what you need. A quarterback's going to elevate everybody else's performance, not the other way around. That was bad messaging. I think when you're Ryan Pace and you go into something with the media and you do it so infrequently, you've got to be drilled and prepared better than that. Of course it's defense. You've got to cling to that. You've got to cling to something. Don't talk about, every GM loves his head coach. You can't tell me though that the strength of the Bears organization is coaching when you see the amount of turnover that Matt Nagy's staffs have had over the last several years. That's not a strength. That's a problem. And so you may believe in your head coach, but why don't others? And what's the problem with everyone, the turnover? And why did he have to interview 9 defensive coordinators if the strength is coaching? You have a guy who's that good, he's connected. He doesn't need to interview 9 guys to figure out what he's looking for when the guy he found was right in his own building all along. So I had a hard time buying that. I think it was poor messaging. Of course, the strength is defense. If you don't believe it, just look at the salary cap and who you're paying.
Pick six.
Do you believe Edward Elzalay should be a starter for the Cubs this year, or are you content with the plan to use him out of the bullpen and start him some too? Is that just going to be the way of life this year for all pitchers, young and old, following last year's limited usage?
I'm content with being level-headed, even-keeled, and not getting over my skis when it comes to Edward Elzalay. Because after his first major league start, I remember coming to work in the morning and being, oh my gosh, did you see that guy? He's going to be winning 15 games before you know it. And I was a little bit overexcited. I was a little bit like too enthusiastic. So anything with Elzalay, I'm like, well, fine. If he's the sixth starter, okay. If he's in the bullpen, fine. If he's in the rotation, great. I'm going to temper my expectations, even though I believe he's got to be one of your top five starters. And if he is, the Cubs are in good shape. I don't know if he's better than Trevor Williams, but I hope that he is, and I suspect that he is. And there are other guys. I don't know what you do with Alec Mills. I like him in the rotation. Heck, he could throw a no-hitter on any given day. But my enthusiasm for Elzalay is going to be tempered because I have learned the hard way not to get too carried away when it comes to his potential.
Yeah, I think that's very well said, David. I think that you've got you're spot on here. You know, we look around Major League Baseball and you see that even the pitchers that had a full season had a 60-game season. It's not like you were, you know, you're pitching every five days over a 60-game season. You're not going to put up much numbers. You got to watch these arms. You got to be careful with these guys and how you use them and how you build them up. And I don't know how many 200 inning pitchers there are out there. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that all plays out. Now, having said that, I think with a younger pitcher like Adbert, I think you're talking about trying to use him out of the bullpen and then getting him his starts and trying to figure out a way to make sure that he's there at the end of the season as much as the beginning of the season. The idea isn't to try to come up with a rotation. You know, I believe Tommy Hotovy said there were like 10 guys that would be in the same position where they were used out of the bullpen and then getting starts here and there and figuring that out and how you were going to balance that. So I think the goal for all pitching is consistency. And I think that with younger pitchers in particular, you can see them pop up or on a day where their stuff is good, where they've got one pitch going very well and everything kind of can work around that. And you can say, wow, this guy, you know, someday he'll win a Cy Young. But then the next time out, that's not going well. And his secondary stuff's getting rocked. And it's like up and down and up and down. And the guys that you say are dependable starters are consistent. You know what to expect. It doesn't mean that their ERA is below 3. It means that they're the same guy every time out, and they eat the same amount of innings every time out. You don't get that with young pitchers. God knows Dylan Cease is a great example of that, where every once in a while you'd be like, wow, is he good? Is that the tipping point? Is he going to be good? And then you don't see it. Or you have something else that works and something doesn't. It's just the consistency is what you're striving for. However you can manage to get that amidst this pandemic, God bless you. And here's hoping it works.
Can you believe this? Pick six.
Why are any of us watching spring training games or bothering to keep score if teams are going to walk off after two outs like the Texas Rangers did repeatedly in their 5-5 draw with the White Sox? Is it unfair to suggest Tony La Russa is still chasing his first win after that debacle?
That was ridiculous. Did you watch that game? That was absolutely the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Every time they were on the verge of like a giant breakout inning, oh, well, that's it. Yeah, you know, they got to a point where I forget who it was. He walked. Okay, that ends the ending. Okay. The guy walked to load the bases. We got to stop now. Can't we get anybody in a clutch moment to see what they can do? It was frustrating watching that game. I get it. It's spring training and no one cares. And you're supposed to be looking at it for different reasons. But it's so funny. I mean, once the regular season starts, we're going to see so many different players and pitchers and so much more consistency, please God. but I can't help but watch it. I'm hungry for this stuff, and I've missed baseball, and I want to watch these games. And damn, does it let me down when I realize, what, it's ending after five? I thought they went seven. Oh, this one is six, and the other one is seven. Oh, it's just so arbitrary and so stupid and so meaningless. What the hell is wrong with me?
Forgive me for being amused at your annoyance, because I am on totally the opposite end of the spectrum. I don't care who wins a spring training game. I don't care, because it doesn't matter. It's not about the destination. It is about the journey in spring training. It is process oriented. You're getting guys ready for the regular season, when Tony La Russa's record will be affected, but nothing that happens in abbreviated games in Glendale or in Arizona this month will matter to Tony La Russa's record or his legacy. You know what? I love it, because maybe the NFL will take notice and think that, okay, hey, we can end preseason games after three quarters if we don't want to get anybody injured because we're out of quarterbacks, or this. Preseason activity is an exhibition by definition. We call it that. So I'm not going to get too worked up that we don't have an outcome that's satisfying. I like the hockey record of the White Sox in spring training. You know, maybe, again, if they want to end a game with a home run derby, more power to them. Dude, it's just an exhibition anyway.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Did the Illini earn a number one seed last night when they dismantled Michigan without Ayu Dosunmu, 76-53?
They proved that they were worthy of a number one seed, absolutely, with a resounding effort against Michigan. They played defense. They tried hard. But they also proved that seeding doesn't matter with this team. You know, you want to make them number two, fine. It puts a chip on the shoulder that's a little heavier and sharpens their edge. With or without Io, this is a dangerous team. It's going to be a special month. I think this is, you know, after last night, you have to go back where some Texters have weighed in, and you did think of, we were both at this game, Mully. That was as big of a win that Illinois has had maybe since the comeback against Arizona. You know, that was that good, and it wasn't better than that, but it certainly made you think of these special moments, and last night was a special moment, and it made you think that more special things are ahead.
Yeah, I got to tell you, if I'm an Illini fan, I'm thinking national championship. I think they played that well, and they did it against that good a team, and they did it on the road without that player. So I am absolutely gung-ho about the Illini and their chances. That was not a good win. That was a great win. And you can argue that, oh, Michigan, you know, they were at home, and they were feeling good, and there was no IO, so they weren't worried. I don't care. If you've moved up to the number two team in the country, you better be able to defend home court. You better be able to show up when the ball is in the air. So I think that Michigan really let themselves down, if that's the case. They got beaten by the better team. That game wasn't close. That was an arse kicking from the old school. That was a super impressive job for Illinois up and down the lineup, and you know, Brad Underwood, take a bow. I thought he did a hell of a job of having his team ready to play, and yes, I think they should be a number one seed regardless of what goes on here from here on out. And I think once Io comes back, they now know that they can win without him. They now know that they've got this team. And by the way, here's the guy that knocks down the big shot. It's an extraordinary position to be in. And you feel like they're getting to their best when it matters most. I think that's a great thing to have happen for a team. So we'll see if there's yet another step that the Illini can take, and that would mean national championship. All right. Really, really enjoy talking about Illinois, David. It's fun to see how this team has come together and what they've done, and it's just great. I mean, honestly, of all the good stories out there, college basketball is really helping. We need to interpret what we heard yesterday. We're going to bring in our guy, Big Z. We'll talk to him about it. Big's time is next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hey, it's Dan Bernstein.
And Layla Rahimi.
From the Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
Join us from 9 a.m. to noon.
Mike Florio joins us to talk football at 10. We have the Midday Midway at 10:40, and we'll react to everything that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy had to say.
Next on Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
You said there's a lot of ways it could go. We're referring to the quarterback situation. So what I'm curious is, how many ways are there that you'll be confident with? Like, how many options are there that you can point at right now today and say, you know what, I'm good with that?
So what I would say to you, Brad, is on that is that there's several.
Answer of the day. Oh, it said it all. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it's so good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while, and there you are. You're on Twitch, so the miracle of technology helping us out here. You look great for yourself, by the way, Brad. God bless you. Okay, what's your takeaway from that? What was your takeaway? There were a lot of things said. We'll get into some individual things, but in terms of the quarterback plan, since that's the big story and you asked the best questions about it, what's your takeaway?
Well, I think they've got a lot of ideas. I don't know that they have any idea how many of them are realistic. And if you can't pull off the top couple plans, I think you're really spinning your wheels. Then they're in a tough spot. They really are. They're not the only team sort of in quarterback purgatory right now that is in the dance and looking for a guy to try to improve their football team. But you didn't expect a whole lot of concrete news out of yesterday, but it's kind of reaffirmed what I thought going in. Yeah, they've got a prayer and a hope maybe, and after that, it could get really interesting. You know, although Matt Nagy talked about him feeling like some of the young players they have on offense are ready to kind of help lift up the offense as a whole, which, you know, if you can get that, and I don't know that they can, but if he's right and you can get that, then you're looking for a guy who can keep his hands at 10-2 on the wheel and sort of drive the car, you know, keep it out of the ditch, stay off the median, and do that type of thing. But I've just been kind of underwhelmed with that skill position talent for a while. Yeah, Montgomery was better last year. I think Cole Kmet can be a nice player. There's no question about that one. Darnell Mooney flashed a little bit in his rookie season, but let's not compare Darnell Mooney to, say, Justin Jefferson with the Minnesota Vikings. So they've got to get more skill position talent, but they got to get an answer at the quarterback position, and I don't know if they know what it's going to be.
Well, so, Brad, listening to Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, they talked about how this offseason they have considered everything on the table. They have considered every possibility, like we have. And so they sounded a lot like sports talk radio hosts or producers contemplating things as they come along. Let me ask you this. We don't have to set a deadline. We can talk about this until, you know, the draft, and then the draft will carry us into training camp, and we don't have to worry about that. They're putting a roster together, though. What value would a deadline, placing a deadline and maybe their decision-making process, carry, and do you think that's realistic?
There'd be real value in it. The sooner they have their guy in place, the sooner Matt and Bill Lazor and Flip and the newly hired Tom Herman and all those guys can go to work, right? They have an idea of what they want to do with the quarterback that they have in place. So the sooner, the better. If you're shooting for the moon and a couple stars and other stuff up in the galaxy, and you want to get Deshaun Watson, I don't know that the Bears are in a position where they can dictate the terms with the Houston Texans, right? The Houston Texans have the prize there. It's the quarterback. He wears number four, right? You know, so Ryan's going to call up the Texans and say, hey, guys, if we don't have a deal done by date X, we're out. What are the Texans going to say? Okay. You know, so I don't know that the Bears are in a position where they can mandate, hey, we got to have it by this date. The sooner the better, because obviously if you hold out for a superstar and you realize that your chances might not be great and then you don't get them, you leave yourself potentially vulnerable to being kind of stuck. So they'd need to have some type of other plan in place, whether that's, you know, Nick Foles and another guy, or Nick Foles and some kind of mid-round draft pick. I don't know. It's not a great situation, but hopefully they can make the best out of it. And who knows? Maybe they can get that pinch hit grand slam when they're down three runs in the bottom of the ninth with two outs. Maybe they can pull it off.
You know, I'm glad that you said that, because you just, in my mind, articulated the entire problem I had with yesterday, which is it was an exercise in fantasy. It was an exercise in not we have a plan and the plan's going to work. It was more like, I'm on the driveway. This is the end of the game. I've got one shot. Oh, you know what? I'm going to take another shot. I'm on the driveway. It was like fantasy. It's like, well, maybe we'll get this guy. Maybe we'll get that guy. Maybe there is no discernible plan out of this. I understand there are different players and how they would fit in. And then maybe we go back to this guy, which I thought that was a real kind of joke when Pace talked about, well, Mitch is on the table. And then, you know, when you heard Nagy, it didn't sound like Mitch was on the table so much. I think that we're kind of playing a fantasy football game, only with real people and how would they fit in. And we're doing our scheme eval, and we'll figure out which guy looks best when we get a chance of getting that guy.
Yeah, I don't think Mitch is really an option. I maybe I'm absolutely wrong on that, but boy, I don't know how you look at the last two seasons and then evaluate, okay, well, how do we play against good teams with Mitch? Just look at the Saints game and the Packers game at the end of the season. You know, I mean, not even close. I don't know how you look at that and say, yeah, this guy's our best option if we just get a little bit better around him. They've been trying to get a little bit better around him for a while. I don't know that Mitch would want to return, and I think it's a situation where they don't want to rule Mitch out, because that, you know, wouldn't be kind to him as he goes off to seek a job elsewhere, and they're mindful of that. So I really don't think Nick Foles is a top plan for them either. I get people telling me, hey, you forget he was a Super Bowl MVP and he's won big time games in the playoffs and late in the regular season for the Eagles. I'm going off what I saw with my own eyes this past season. And he was really bad the year before in Jacksonville as well. Okay. So he's getting further removed from that St. Nick stuff and a statue in Philadelphia and all that. Could he be a high caliber backup? I think he can. Boy, if he's your starter week one, I think you're opening yourself up to the possibility of a lot of problems.
Brad, Ryan Pace alluded to, and maybe it was Nagy as well, all the scenarios that have been discussed, and then there's been some that, you know, people haven't discussed. And boy, there's some things that, and it suggested that they may be working on something, or there have been possibilities. Any educated guesses at who they might have been referring to? Could it have been a Mariota? Could it have been Sam Darnold? Is there some quarterback in all of the things that we have exhaustively looked at? Is there somebody that we're overlooking that would give the Bears reason to believe that would be an upgrade?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think all of it's been discussed. I really do. You know, I think people have kicked around Sam Darnold and Marcus Mariota and, hey, what if the Dallas Cowboys can't get it done with Dak Prescott and decide not to use a second franchise tag on him? I mean, that's been out there, and I don't think I think Prescott's going to stay in Dallas. Perhaps that's a reference to you're going to start seeing a lot of players cut around the league. One name that popped up yesterday, a little bit of a surprise, Kyle Van Noy with the Miami Dolphins. I don't think the Bears can invest in a guy like him, but if the Dolphins can't trade him, he's expected to be released. His contract will be terminated. He'll be a street free agent. So you're going to see unexpected guys popping up. Now, are you going to see a quarterback? No. Could you see some players that might be able to help the Bears out, especially if they can sort of get them at their price? Yeah, the Bears have got some juggling to do with their own salary cap. One of the things Pace did say yesterday, that they expected to come in around $180 million. Some reports have had it maybe a few million higher than that. So they've got work to do. They cleared a little bit of room by releasing Buster Skrine. More moves to come. And as he said, it doesn't all have to be cutting players. We're going to see some you know, Twister played with some of these contracts in terms of kicking cap commitments into the future. And they'll have some space to make some moves, hopefully make some moves to get a really nice quarterback in place at some point. But I just don't know how realistic it is.
Brad, we'll let you go. We got 30 seconds. Do you think Allen Robinson's back? I heard yesterday David agreed that Robinson's back.
Yeah. I think the thing I've maintained all along is don't overthink this. They value him. They need him, and they've got the franchise tag at their disposal. Maybe they make a run at a contract proposal before the deadline, which is I believe this coming Tuesday. But I would almost fully expect him to be tagged before the deadline.
Great stuff, Brad. Thanks, as Brad. Always, thank you, buddy. You look
nice
like
hat.
A million.
Have a great
God
day,
bless
guys.
You. All right, pal. How great is it to see Pigsy? Huh?
It's great.
It's been a while. Yeah.
I love
this,
it. Yeah.
This Twitch thing's working out, I'll tell you that. No complaints.
You are Mr. Twitch.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Twitchy. It's more like it. I'm always kind of – I'm a Herbert Lom from the Pink Panther movies. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!